Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Discussions with Delia Farquharson. Delia is a licensed social worker and experienced life coach, dedicated to helping you achieve your goals and become your better self. She specializes in helping others identify the connections between your thoughts, feelings, and actions. Welcome, Delia.
Good evening. Hello, radio listeners. And thank you for joining us for another exciting episode of Discussions with Delia. I'm Delia Farquharson, and it's wonderful to be doing our second episode of Discussions with Delia. If you missed our show last week, which was where we talked about purpose and passion, you can always catch that show and listen to it anytime on Blog Talk Radio /Discussions with Delia. It's wonderful to be with you again this evening, and I am really excited to have my guest co-host with me again, and that's my awesome husband, Raymond.
Hello, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here again.
Yes, so it's really wonderful, and I'm hoping we'll have a lot of interactions from you, the listeners, on our really important topic today, and that topic is fear. And I posed some questions for our discussion today, and the questions that I put on the website, and you can also follow me on Twitter at Delia M, and on our Facebook page, which is Discussions with Delia. But the questions that I posed regarding fear was, how does fear affect us? How does fear affect us individually in our lives and collectively as a society, as a community, as a family? How does fear affect us? Are we choosing to live our lives in fear? What role, if any, do you think fear played in the Trayvon Martin case? How did fear figure in that case? And how do we overcome fear? Remembering that the purpose of this show is about how do we fulfill our lives? How do we work on every day becoming our better selves? And how do we identify the connection between our thoughts, our feelings, and our actions? So we start today with fear. And what are your thoughts, Raymond, on fear?
Well, the word fear for me, the word that comes to mind is more of a something being very crippling, leaving you in a state of helplessness. Whether you're aware of it or not, I think fear is very crippling, whether in your, as you said, in your personal life, in your professional life, or otherwise. The word fear, or the idea of fear, for me brings about a crippling feeling, a helplessness, which is, I think, if not dealt with, it has lasting effect.
Right. I agree. I think fear, you know, can be crippling if we allow it. And it's awesome to realize that we have a caller on the line. So I'm going to go to our caller right now and just, you know, welcome our caller. Oh, I guess I lost the caller. But it's okay. You can call back. The call-in number is 619-639-4621. Again, the call-in number is 619-639-4629. We broadcast on Wednesday evenings at 6:30 live, but you can listen to the show anytime on Blog Talk Radio. Now, fear. It's interesting that, Raymond, that you talk about fear from a personal, from a professional perspective, because if we choose to live in fear, then how we make decisions become really emotional. You know, it's not about what's possible, but it's about what we dread happening.
Right.
So again, we're not going from a positive looking at whatever the situation is. So for example, from a professional, from a professional perspective at work,
mm-hmm.
you know, individuals may be in fear of losing their job because, after all, we have to pay for the bills, we have to pay,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so because of that, we choose to accept
mm-hmm.
Circumstances or accept situations based on that fear of not being able to pay the bills or afford our lifestyle. So it's really interesting that how we make decisions when we do it from a place of fear becomes really difficult. We have another caller on the line. And so, hello, caller. Hello.
Hello, Ms. Rockross. I'm just listening on the radio. I didn't expect to come in on the air.
Oh, that's all right, Jeff. How are you?
I'm good. I'm looking forward to hearing the topic discussed.
Yeah, we're talking about fear. So, you know, we're talking about, you know, how fear plays a role in our lives. And do you have any thoughts about that, Jeff? Do you have any thoughts about the role that fear plays in your life or in the lives of others as you see it?
Well, I guess off the top of my head, I imagine it's probably one of the best conditioning mechanisms for any human experience, as far as I know.
What fear is?
Fear, you know, as opposed to reward or I guess it's coupled with punishment, but it seems to be the most lasting and influential of mechanisms that alter human behavior after an experience, I think.
Okay. So you're saying that fear drives lasting change. And do you have any sense of whether you're thinking that change is necessarily positive or not? Do you have any sense of whether, typically when we respond out of fear or when we're responding from fear, if that those responses are usually more influenced in the positive or not?
Well, I guess that's relative. I think fear properly applied can save lives. It's usually some consequence of something negative that's happened. So to prevent other negative occurrences, you plug in subconsciously or unconsciously whatever that experience was, and it's supposed to, you know, provide health, safety, and some guarantee of those notions, right, for the future, I think.
Yes.
Of course, it becomes negative when... Sorry?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, yeah, to finish my thought, I'm thinking it probably only becomes negative when you apply fear without a proper analysis of a future situation.
Right. But I wonder if when you are in fear, you're able to do that. And, you know, but Jeff, you know, I wonder if when you're in that position of fear or even when you're in that state of fear, can you apply any kind of reasonable, rational thought to the situation, you know? Or reflexive response, you know? So, but it's interesting, Jeff, and I thank you for calling and for tuning in. I really appreciate it. You know, the perspective that you share is really an interesting one, and I wonder if that's how others see it.
Yeah, I think it'd be instructive if we found people that actually, well, other than ourselves, because everybody has something fear-based in their life, but I suppose if we found people that were willing to speak to active, active situations in their life, ongoing things on a regular basis that spur fear.
Right.
I know, for instance, as a former military member, I know fear is not something that can be trained out of you, but if you can be trained to do something in the face of fear, it can be overcome.
Right, right. So being afraid and doing and executing your purpose anyway.
Right.
Right. Very interesting, Jeff. Well, Jeff, thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
All right, I'll talk to you soon. And please listen, continue to listen, Jeff. I really appreciate that.
I will.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, honey. So I wonder, you know, like the caller was saying, like Jeff was saying, you know, can fear be instructive?
But I think, yes, but I think you have to recognize the moment you're in. Because, as I thought you were alluding to, in terms of in that moment of fear, and they are going to vary. Fear could be over a period of time, and there will be multiple fears. You had, before the caller called in, you were going to a place where you're talking about fear of losing your job.
Right.
Or
living in constant fear,
as opposed to being afraid for that moment. Is it a spider or something, you know, something in a moment? So while you're in that moment, can you really make rational, constructive decisions, or are you more surviving? You're doing just to survive because you have not confronted the fear. You're just surviving the fear.
Right, you're just surviving, right, whatever the incident is.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, it begs the question, you know, can fear promote positive? Can fear promote progress? You know, and I guess it depends on how one chooses to approach the situation or approach the fear.
Right.
You know, so.
Right. I think it could be an opportunity, recognizing that, you know what, let's go back to the job thing, because it's in any day, any week, any month, any decade, having a job, keeping a job, having a source of income is very important to every household, regardless of the job you do and the income you make. So living in fear of losing that opportunity to earn a living is real, and it is something that speaks to your core. You know, will I compromise? What am I willing to put up with in order to not lose this job? I'm fearful of losing my job. I'm also fearful of my boss. So therefore, I'll choose. I'll put up with him because I fear losing my job more.
Okay, and is it the same for relationships? From another perspective?
I think so. It's the same energy in a different way, but I'm fearful of losing whoever is in my life, so I might tolerate certain being treated a certain way and so on. So therefore, the tolerance is shifted and justified only because, and I go back to the word crippling again, if you're crippled and therefore cannot function at your best and be your best self because you're living in fear, therefore you will tolerate things that if you were not fearful, you would not. You would not tolerate those things.
Mm-hmm. Right. So then, are we living our lives in fear? And how do we ask ourselves and analyze that for ourselves as to whether or not we are choosing to approach our lives from a place of fear?
Yes.
I mean,
but I think some people don't know that they're living in fear. I think they might not see it as fear. I'm surviving. I can the moment I can do better, I will make a different choice. I'm just doing it now because I don't have an option. So there are justification for different things that we do, and we don't confront it necessarily as fear. You know, that little thing in your belly that you feel when someone walks into the room, or, you know, when something happens, how your body reacts. You know, your body is true to itself. It's just how you process it and deal with it externally. You know, you cringe, you tighten your fists, you have to go to the bathroom. Whatever that trigger, however it translates into your self, your physiological self, you know, if you don't deal with that as something that is real and recognize it as fear and be willing to address that fear. Or you might recognize it as fear, you might be willing to address it and then choose to stay in fear because you see it as the lesser of the two evils.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, I don't know that within our human experience, within our social experience, that anybody defines fear through a positive lens. I mean, Jeff before kind of alluded to using fear in a constructive way with his military experience. But I think in our social context, within our understanding, our human understanding of fear, fear is always thought of as a distressing emotion. You know, it's something that alludes to pain or doom or, you know, danger or, you know, panic. Fear, the word fear generates a thought that
negative connotation. Yeah.
And that something you need to protect yourself, you need to make yourself safe.
Right.
So fear, for us within our human experience, causes us to feel like we must protect ourselves.
Right.
So that's the context in which I guess we're framing this discussion is. That, you know, are we living our lives in such a way that we feel like we must protect ourselves, that we are in danger, that we are in pain, that there's some pending doom upon us?
Right. But I think in the same vein, though, recognizing the fear creates an opportunity. So if we see that as the positive, where before when we were not recognizing it as fear or however we were living our lives, the minute you recognize it for what it is and take steps to address that, remove oneself from that dangerous situation or that dangerous person or thing, recognizing it then becomes a ray of hope in terms of an opportunity to address that and move forward.
Yeah, I think an important part, and that's a really good point, an important part of being able to overcome fear is to kind of confront it, is to kind of say or imagine or entertain the worst-case scenario.
Right.
So if it's about a job or a relationship or whatever that experience is that we fear, what would happen, you know, allowing yourself to imagine what would happen if that came through? What would happen if I no longer had this job? What would happen if I no longer was a part of this relationship? What would happen if I was no longer whatever the situation
Whatever the stress is or the source of fear, if it was removed, what's the worst could happen compared to what's happening now?
Right.
But I think to get to that point is the trick.
Right.
Recognizing and do things to get to that point where you can analyze it objectively and make decisions. But I think the longer time is spent tolerating, dealing with, adjusting, excusing, you know, making adjustments to tolerate the fear because one might tell oneself the alternative is worse.
Okay. So then it brings us to, because we're in the, you know, we're getting ready to go into the last 10 minutes of the show, and one of the questions that I wanted to pose about this segment was dealing with the Trayvon Martin case and the role, if any, that fear played in the outcome of this situation. You know,
you mean the incident that occurred or the trial and
all of it.
Verdict.
All of it.
Okay.
The role that fear played in all of it. You know, was there fear in Zimmerman when he, you know, accosted Trayvon Martin?
Mm-hmm.
Was there fear in Trayvon Martin's response to Zimmerman?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there fear now, and I believe that there is, but is there fear now being generated all over this country for people who think that that could be me or that could be someone that I know? or that could be my son or my nephew or my brother or my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, how is fear driving the conversation around the Trayvon Martin situation?
Mm-hmm.
I think
fear was probably one of the primary things that ran through the whole thing from beginning to end. I think fear was used to demonstrate in the courtroom. It would be fair to assume that fear was very evident in the interaction between both of them. You know, it would be fair to assume if someone has a gun, you're going to be fearful. It's
mm-hmm.
fear, you know, all of those things. And then that was brought forward in the court hearing as well, where they wanted you to see Trayvon Martin as someone to be feared. You know, he should be feared, so therefore it's natural and normal to react to that fear and defend yourself.
Yeah.
So if I drive fear home, who couldn't understand being fearful and doing something to remove that fear?
Okay, so what is the benefit now of perhaps the fear being perpetuated or generated right now? What's the benefit of that? You know, what's the benefit of our communities and, you know, all over this country, families and people being fearful of what could happen? Is anything really different? Because, you know, with all the outrage that we see about Trayvon Martin and him being killed by George Zimmerman, we see every day other young black men being killed by other young black men. And yet we don't see that fear and that response in the same way.
I heard that argument when I was driving home and I was listening to the radio, and someone said exactly that. You know, that as a community, we're not as enraged when young black on black crime as we are about this. And someone actually said, well, he was walking home. Most times, black on black crime deals with both parties being more likely on the other side of the law, playing in the same pool, so to speak. Whereas here's a youngster walking home with Skittles in his hand, being killed. I think there's a difference.
Right. But you know, I guess the fear that's generated from this incident is really so intense. And I'm wondering, and this is the question that I'm asking, is how do we repurpose that fear? What are the takeaways from this discussion? What do we take away? I think it's really important to, first of all, be very aware of your thoughts and what the fearful thought is that's driving that feeling of fear. Right? What are you thinking that's causing you to be afraid? And in confronting that thought, then it really becomes important to be honest with yourself about how do you want to deal with it. Are you going to suppress it? Are you going to confront it? How will you deal with the fearful feelings that you have regarding whatever the situation is?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's about, like we talked a little bit before, the worst-case scenario. Making the decisions or analyzing the situation not from a place of fear, but what's the worst that could happen?
Mm-hmm.
And then confronting that.
Yeah, but I think that is very hard. You know, great point. I agree with you, but I think the road to get to that point, to say, all right, I know what my fear is, I know what I think, however, the worst case is better than where I am or worse than where I am. I think the hard part is dealing with the fear
in the moment.
You're right, because you're not necessarily at your best self. You're not at your clearest thought. You're surviving. You're putting up with. You're adjusting your life to fit. For example, you're in a relationship that's abusive and you hate it, and your children, you hate it even more so because your children are exposed to this to this violence and so on. But however, you present a different front when you walk out the door. You put your makeup on or whatever it might be, and you present a front as a happy family because you want to present that. You want no one else to know what you're living behind closed doors.
But that's survival, right?
Exactly. But you're doing it, you're fearful of your life while you're in the relationship, and you're, again, surviving. The alternative, are you thinking about it at that moment? Not necessarily. You just want to get through today.
But you probably are thinking about it. You're probably thinking about it, and you've figured out that that's the best way to survive in the moment, and that's what you're doing.
Yes.
But, I mean, but that, again, is just being aware of what's going on and deciding what you want to do, really
right.
being aware of your thoughts. Right. Because that's what's going to drive your action.
Right.
And I think that's really important to kind of focus on, you know, I mean, domestic violence is such a complex,
right.
it's such a complex topic.
Right.
But in any situation where someone is living in fear,
right.
I think really confronting the thought of what is going on, what am I afraid of,
yeah.
what is it that holds me here?
Right.
And then making a conscious decision of what you want to do next,
mm-hmm.
of kind of like confronting the fear or recognizing that you even have fear,
mm-hmm.
you know, is really important,
mm-hmm.
You know, because we can be paralyzed or crippled by fear, as you said. You know, we can choose to stay in that place.
Right.
But if we can imagine that it can be different,
mm.
or it can be better, I want to get out of this fearful box, whatever it is, whether it's relationship, whether it's professional, whether it's a job, whatever it is, that I want to get out of this fearful box, you have to first be aware and be honest with the fact that you are in fear, and then imagine that it can be better and that you want to do different.
Right.
And I think that's really important in terms of overcoming it. So, when we think about the purpose of this show and, you know, the fact that it's the design of this show is to try to help others identify the connections between their thoughts, their feelings, and actions, and that it's about working on all of us reaching our fullest potential, becoming our better selves, that's a really it's hard.
Mm.
It's a difficult task every day to try to, reach that goal of wanting to be outside of fear, to be living a life where you are not bound by anything outside of yourself. So,
I guess that's what you're saying. And the takeaway is, having the ability to recognize your fear gives you at least the starting point to address it and make that change.
I think that's really important.
Mm, yes.
I think that's really important because at least if you can understand or confront the fact that you are in fear, that you're
mm-hmm.
in a fearful place, that you're not where you want to be,
mm-hmm.
that recognition, that is really important. So, I hope, that we can continue this discussion further.
I think so.
Yeah. We'll continue with this discussion. Join us next week for another episode of Discussions with Delia. Our topic next week will be...
What's our topic next week?
What's the opposite of fear?
I don't know. Maybe let's talk about that next week. Fear and the opposite of fear.
Right. But you know what? It's about overcoming fear.
Right.
How do we overcome fear?
Right.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling in. I look forward to having another discussion with you next week. So until then, peace and blessings.
Thank you for listening to me today. Be sure to follow me on Twitter @WithDeliaM, and be sure to like our Facebook page at Discussions with Delia. Tune in next week for another exciting show. Peace and